You're listening to the Qalam Podcast, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussain Kamani. This summer, Mufti Hussain will be teaching the Hadith Intensive. Students will study the different methods of compilation and preservation of a Hadith, the major role female scholars have played in Hadith preservation, the biography of famous Hadith narrators, as well as different Ahadith collections and excerpts from famous Hadith texts like Sahih al-Bukhari. For more information, visit hadithintensive.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الانبياء وعلى اله الاسكياء واصحابه الاتقياء اما بعد. If you ever watch a horse race, a common scene is that a horse will start the race very fast with a lot of energy. But because the rider is inexperienced, even though they may feel that they're winning the race at the beginning, the horse runs out of energy, and before it makes it to the end line, it loses. It's because it starts with a lot of energy, but then loses its energy towards the end. That's an example of some type of people, a group of people, who do so good earlier on in their life. Their past is beautiful. They have so much to talk about. They remember their childhood days that when we were young, we used to go to the masjid. And when we were young, we used to read the Qur'an with Qari Sahib every day. When we were young, we were punctual with our salah. When we were young, our father wouldn't let us stand up from the musalla until we read our tasbih, until we made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we were young, our parents used to make us make dua before iftar. When we were young, our parents would tell us to give sadaqah. They're always talking about the past, when we were young, when we were young. Then you have the second type of people. The horse starts off the race slow. It actually doesn't start off with as much energy. But towards the end, it takes the reserved energy that it has and flies right through the rest of the race, and it's victorious. There are some people, when they look at their past, they don't have much to say. So in comparison to the next guy, one person might say, when I was young, my parents used to make us read so much Quran every day. This person doesn't have the same thing to share. They don't have those stories of our parents telling us to read so much Quran when I was young. Or maybe their parents weren't necessarily pious, so they didn't guide them. Maybe in their community, they didn't have a masjid. Or dhikr wasn't something that was promoted in the community. They didn't have an opportunity for Islamic education. Quite the opposite, some people actually spend the early part of their life disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they recall their earlier days, they remember murder. They remember drugs. They remember dhulm. They remember oppressing other people. These are things that they remember. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that at some point in their life, the energy that they saved of good, all that positive energy that was unused in them, they use it for something good, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them victory in the race of life. And you look amongst the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, you'll find a lot of number two. They spent the early part of their life doing things they weren't happy of. Things that environment just pushed them, jahiliyyah pushed them to do. But then they found the moment. And when they found that moment, they maximized and they really squeezed every last drop of juice out of it. And before they left the world, they titled themselves, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the title, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Finding the moment is actually the most important thing in life. Finding your moment. I remember when I was young, in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, the small town we lived in, there was no halal store there. So if Muslims wanted to eat meat, we would send one person from the community every month with a huge truck. I mean, there were 25, 30 families, but he would take this big truck, go to Ohio, slaughter a few animals there, load the meat, drive it back, come to the masjid, and all the Muslims' families would come and take their portion that they had ordered. So one time it was the imam's turn, and I remember this like it was yesterday. I had come back from madrasa for holiday, it was Ramadan time, and it was the imam's turn to go and get the meat. He said to me, "Hussein, you're not doing much anyway, why don't you come with me?" I was sitting at home, I wasn't doing much, it was a holiday, so I said, "Okay, I'll come with you." So back in the days, we used to have these TDK 60-minute, 90-minute cassettes. For those of you who remember these 60-minute, 90-minute cassettes that you'd have. So I just came from madrasa, and I used to enjoy listening to poetry a lot. Even till today, I enjoy poetry. So I pulled a cassette from my bag, and I took it with me. In case it gets boring on the drive, I'll just pop it in. So we drove and drove and drove, and for those of you who've driven through Kentucky, it's a very beautiful state. So we were driving through the beautiful trees and the beautiful roads. Finally, The car just went quiet. He had nothing to say. I had nothing to say. So I pulled out the cassette from my pocket and I popped it in the cassette player. And the poetry was in Urdu, and the one reading the poetry was reading it in a beautiful tone, with a beautiful tune, nice voice. As he was reading it, the sheikh next to me started laughing, and he turned the off button and pulled the cassette out. He said, "Put this in your pocket." I said, "Sheikh, what happened?" He said, "This is a song from the 70s. What did he say? Right? I still remember the line of the poetry was, "Yaad mein aqa ke aansu beh gaye, sab madine ko gaye, hum reh gaye." And he goes, "Ye to gana hai. Dil ke arma aansuon mein beh gaye, hum wafa karke bhi tanha reh gaye." Right? He remembered the words, and I remember what he said then. I haven't heard the song, just FYI. Didn't listen to things from the 70s. Still don't. So I was shocked. And I said the one thing that was very obvious that many of you guys are probably thinking. I said to him, "Sheikh, if it's a song, how do you know it's a song? You're a sheikh. If it's a song, okay, how do you know it's a song?" So then he said something to me. May Allah preserve his life and give him barakah. He's an imam in California. He said something so powerful to me, Allahu Akbar, it stuck with me till today. What he said to me next was a changing moment in my life. He said, "Hussein, everyone has a pass. Only the smart and intelligent people know when it's time to move forward." When he said that to me, it kind of just felt very interesting, the thought that he proposed, which was that people aren't born with a turban on their head. People aren't born with a tasbih around their wrist. No one is born wearing leather socks and miswak behind their ear. People are born like people. They enter into the world, they grow up in the society and the environment that they grow up in, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives every single person an opportunity. That opportunity comes in your life. Sometimes it comes in the form of marriage. For some people, that opportunity of change is marriage. For some people, the opportunity of change is a halaqah they heard in the masjid. For another person, the opportunity of change is the month of Ramadan. For someone, it's a khatira. For another person, it's just an experience of their journey, maybe to Hajj, maybe to Medina Munawwara. Everyone is given an opportunity. There are those of us who become lazy when we're given opportunities and we just treat them like another day. We become arrogant and egoistic and we think to ourselves that Allah gave me an opportunity yesterday. He gave me an opportunity today. So what fear should I have that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't give it to me tomorrow again? But you have to remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give and give and give. And if you don't take, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ وَإِنْ تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent. You are dependent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need Allah. You need to come and ask Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need to come and ask you. Your sajda does not increase Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His greatness at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Azza wa Jal. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we say after every time we say the great name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need any of us. We are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By doing sajda in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've honored ourselves. When we say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, astaghfirullah, we've honored our own soul. We've purified our own soul. But if we keep the attitude, if we continue the attitude of we don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm independent of my creator, I don't need him, my life is perfect, I have a credit card and a credit line of $20,000, $30,000, I can work my way through life, I don't need no God, no creator. Allah says, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا. And if you turn away from this reality that you always need Allah, if you turn away from that reality, يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. Allah will remove you and bring another nation. And that nation that follows will have qadr and love for their Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not every person is given opportunities like you and I have. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us opportunities. And it's our responsibility that we make something of these opportunities. One of the things that Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, he used to say there are five signs of a person's heart becoming a rock. Meaning your heart, the spiritual state of it is gone, almost not completely hopeless, but you're reaching a place where you're getting darker and darker into a hole. He says there are five signs of a person's heart becoming a rock. The first thing, that you have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, and based on that hope, you continue to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say, Allah ghafoor, Allah raheem, laga sharab, and you drink some more. Allah ghafoor, Allah raheem, kill someone. Allah ghafoor, Allah raheem, and just oppressing people. Because you keep thinking what? Allah ghafoor? Allah Rahim. I kid you not, I met a person in Haram one year. I went for Umrah in the month of Ramadan. And when I was there, I was roomed with a bunch of random people. I didn't know the people. We were just together. And a group of them came together from the same city, from another part of the world. I asked them, mashallah, you guys come together like this every year? They said, yes, we come like this every year. I said, mashallah, that's amazing. So one of the guys, he was with them, he said, ask them why they come every year. So I said to them, "Ab har saal kyun aate? Why do you come every year?" They said, the reason why we come every year is because at home, back in our country, what we do is, hum logo ki zameen khate hain. Aur khuda se maafi mangwane ke liye Ramzan mein aate hain. That what we do in our home, back country, what we do is that we usurp people's properties. By oppression, we take control over their properties. We have thugs that go and steal people's properties. And at the end of it, just to make sure we don't die with the sin, we come for Ramadan to get forgiveness. This is the first example of people that he's talking about here. That people, they sin with the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Look, you shouldn't think of Allah's mercy before the sin. You think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy after the sin, right? Khawf is before, raja is after. Before a sin, you should have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, khawf. After the sin is when raja comes in, when hope comes in, that a person thinks of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing he says, the second sign of your heart becoming rock and solid is that you sit and listen and learn and learn and learn. You attend lectures again and again and you learn, but there is no practice that comes out of your knowledge. This is a sign that your heart has hardened. The third thing for a person to not have sincerity, even though Allah is giving them the opportunity, the health, the moment in life to do a good deed, they do the good deed, but their heart is so hard that they lose out on the reward because they lose out on ikhlas and sincerity. The fourth thing he says is that a sign of your hard heart is that Allah gives you rizq, not just a little, a pantry full, not a pantry full, a fridge full, a freezer full, a deep freezer in the garage full. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you so much rizq. But at the end of it, there is no shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? There's no shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fifth thing that he says, a sign of the hearts becoming hard, is that you bury people into the ground, you bury them in the graveyard, but you still don't learn your lesson. When a person dies, it's not about them dying. The actual reflection should be of me dying. How do I die? A person was passing by and someone asked, whose body is this? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it doesn't matter whose body it is, it's your body. That person got offended that the Prophet said that he was a dead person. The Prophet said, if it's not your body, then it's my body. I mean, whose body it is, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that everyone, you and I, one by one, we will all be carried to the graveyard. And if that's a reality very hard for you to believe in, just drive past the graveyard again, walk through it, look at the headstones, and you will find names of young, handsome, and beautiful men and women who inhabited this very same land that you and I live in. There were people before us, and there will definitely be people after us. The moment is what needs to be captured. Each and every one of us needs to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us with this month of Ramadan. And this is our moment. The first 10 days of Ramadan are gone. My kids keep asking me when we drive to Taraweeh, they look out the window and they say, when is the moon going to be full? So today I told them tomorrow. Because tomorrow is which night? The 14th night. So when we look out of our window tomorrow, when we're driving to Taraweeh or away from Taraweeh, we're going to see a full moon. And that full moon to us is what? It's reminding us that, you know, just like our scholars, the mashayikh, they say, if you look at the moon, you learn the lesson of life and death. From nothing, it grows. And then from everything, it becomes nothing. That's the reality of our life. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to utilize the moments that are given to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to use these moments to make tawbah and change our life. How many hujjaj have come back and hajj did nothing for them? How many people have fasted in Ramadan and Ramadan did nothing for them? They stood in Laylatul Qadr and they asked Allah, but Laylatul Qadr didn't change them. Don't blame Hajj, Laylatul Qadr, and Ramadan, and the Qur'an. Blame yourself for not really benefiting from these moments. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them munawwar and enlightened, and make us from the group of people that are accepted in His presence. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.